Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Today I want to talk to you about the fivefold responsibility for promised land reward. I take my text out of Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. The first one, of course, in this great list of liberties and light is the fear of the Lord, to fear the Lord thy God. In fact, the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 6 and 13, the great monotheistic chapter of how to teach your children. Verse 13 said, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. Psalm 34, 9, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Now, think about a society that we live in that is quite materialistic. People want more possessions. They want greater affluence. They want to be able to have the cars and the lands and the houses that they want. And to a degree, there's nothing wrong with the American dream. But the fear of the Lord is what puts us in alignment with the blessings of God. If we want prosperity for the promises of a better future, what better way than to revere the Lord above all things, than to respect his name above all things, to have that general trembling of his presence as we ought to have for a king and for his royalty. Psalm 128 and 1 said, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Well, we know that part of that word blessed means happy. So if happiness is based upon happenings, then let's take control of the happenings of today and tomorrow, of all the things that we look forward to, by fearing and revering and respecting the Lord above all things. And part of the way of doing that, according to this verse, is to walk in his ways. Choose the path that is a true path to prosperity. I'm not talking about just financial prosperity, because in our capitalistic thinking and American mindset, we automatically go to the dollar sign when we think about blessings and we think about prosperity. But there's prosperity for us emotionally. It's to have the joy of the Lord that is your strength. There is a prosperity for us physically, to be healthy in our bodies and to have a healthy mindset mentally, and to be able to rise above the anguishes of our modern society and all of the millennial challenges that we face day in and day out. If we fear the Lord and walk in his ways, there's a prosperity for us physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. God wants us to be blessed in all of these ways that we live. In fact, there's a major study of church attendance and mortality indicates that people who attend church every week live an average of 7 years longer than people who never attend worship services. This kind of data underscores the power of religion, not only for their psychological well-being, but also their physical well-being, said Kenneth Pargament, a sociologist at Bowling Green University who studies the relationship between religion and health. Now, that's quite a sweet deal, understanding that going to church gives us eternal life plus 7 extra years, if you think of it that way. John 10, 28, Jesus said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Proverbs 3 and 7 through 8 in the NIV says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. So a part of this fivefold responsibility for promised land reward is to fear the Lord. And look, when we revere him, when we respect him above all other things in our life, when we have that general trembling at who he is in his essence and supernatural power, we are able to prosper with health in our bodies. I came across an interesting fact about children's education recently. I use the term loosely as I've struggled to find corroborating evidence. Nonetheless, it is purported that in Sri Lanka, It was once believed that lizards stored wisdom in their tongues. As such, Sri Lankans used to feed lizard tongue sandwiches to their children in the hopes that they would grow to be clever and well-spoken. Now, we can laugh at that proposition, but the thought poses an interesting challenge to all of us. What effort are we putting into acquiring more wisdom? I mean, we certainly aren't eating, at least I'm not, my children aren't, eating lizard tongue sandwiches, but what are we doing? There are no shortcuts or magic recipes in quest for greater wisdom, but there is a beginning point, because Proverbs 9 and 10 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So if I want greater wisdom, if I want to have problem-solving skills, if I want to be able to have resiliency to overcome the riddles of life with the answers that come from God, I need to fear the Lord. That's a great starting point for getting all of the answers that I need and all the problem-solving skills that I need. Just another reward of living in the promised land of the Scripture, and to simply fear the Lord, to put Him first, to put what He thinks above what I think, to put His interpretations of my life above my own human will and reasoning about what I ought to do. Recently, an advertisement for a popular sleep aid caught my attention. The narrator opens with these questions. When you want to sleep, do you lie awake? When you get to sleep, do you wake up often during the night? Sleep is here on the wings of Lunesta. Some sleep aids are approved to help you fall asleep and others to help you stay asleep. Prescription Lunesta is approved to do both. Up to this point, things sounded pretty good. Then came this rather disturbing list of warnings. Until you know how you will react to Lunesta, you should not drive or operate machinery. Walking, eating, driving, or engaging in other activities while asleep without remembering it the next day have been reported. Other abnormal behaviors include aggressiveness, agitation, hallucinations, and confusion. In depressed patients, worsening of depression included risk of suicide that may occur. These risks may increase if you drink alcohol. Severe allergic reactions such as swelling of the tongue and throat occur rarely and may be fatal. Did you catch that? Depression, suicide, driving while asleep, and the swelling of the tongue, which could be fatal? Stay asleep indeed, forever, is this subliminal message. A calm voice then returns to the initial question. Need a good night's sleep? Lunesta. What an appropriate name for this product, since you'd have to be a lunatic to take it. Who's going to sleep after taking this pill? If I was too anxious to fall asleep before, I'd be far more anxious after hearing those ominous warnings and side effects. So it is with all of the world's prescriptions for our weary and anxious souls. The world is powerless to truly assuage our anxieties or to offer us the spiritual rest we so desperately need, because God and God alone holds the patent to that prescription. 1 John 4:18 said, perfect love casts out all fear. Psalm 4:8, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Where does all of this prosperity of rest come from? The fear of the Lord. Not the fear of tomorrow, not the earthly kind of fear, but a fear that is safely found and secure in the presence and principles and person of Almighty God. And so Jeremiah 32 and 39 through 40 says, and I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. Now, some people think that the fear of the Lord is antiquated, that it's a sadistic thing that God must have. God's not sadistic. He's the Savior. He's caring. God is love. There is no love that can compare to His love. So the Scripture here is telling us it's for our good. And the verse 40 said, I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. Now, one thing I see about this verse is it's not easy to depart from apostolic doctrines when you have the fear of the Lord in you. It's not easy to walk away from the principles and promises of the Word of God when you have a true deep reverence, respect, and a trembling of His greatness in your spirit. When it's deeply rooted, when it's a part of who you are, if it's in the core of your being, it affects your character, and that character is connected to this everlasting covenant. It's not just easy to walk away from it because you understand that the fear of the Lord is for my good. It's not for me to just walk around with fright. It's not for me to walk around with religious anxiety. In fact, it's the very opposite. It's a part of the abundance of life that God is going to give us. When you go into the book of Acts, the great revival historical journal of the New Testament church, the Bible says in Acts 9 and 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord, watch what happens, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Part of the church growth was the fear of the Lord, was the deep reverence and respect for the Word of God, was this general sense of trembling at His greatness, at the glory of God. In this understanding of the fear of the Lord that brings wisdom, we might observe five kinds of sheep that fear and focus on the wrong things. I mean, you have the wayward, the people you're always trying to get off the edges. They run everything to the edge. They want to climb the fence. They want to go outside the boundaries. They want to step over the line and violate the law. They've never really been in sync with where the Spirit of the Lord is leading them. They're always on the fringes, never with the program, never really involved, never even faithful in service or giving. And they tend to be idle and lazy, loafers, slothful, in the way of progress, disorderly. They can be AWOL, they can be apathetic or indifferent, and sometimes they can even be contentious. Everything from being uninvolved to being rebellious, they just push the edges all the time. They're on the borderline of commitment, they're on the borderline of faithfulness, they're on the borderline of service, using their gift, they're on the borderline of contributing positively to the development of the church. They're just absolutely the wayward. And then you have the worried. These are the no-risk people who basically operate out of worldly fear, not spiritual or religious or godly fear. Fear that somebody won't love them, fear that they might fall, fear that problems might arise that overwhelm them. If group one tests the edges of everything, this particular group of the worried sheep huddles in the middle. They never get near the edge. They're motivated by earthly fear. They're driven by a lack of courage. They can think of 10 reasons why something could never succeed. They have no sense of adventure. They hate change. They fear the unknown. They worry about the consequences of everything. All the issues of life are really more than they can bear, and so they go around generally dismayed and occasionally depressed. Then you have the weak sheep. These are people who have fallen to temptation, they've fallen to sin, they keep trying to scramble back up, dust themselves off, get back in the flow. But they seem to be highly vulnerable because of long habits, because of bad influences, because of their own spiritual weaknesses. They want to do what's right. They have a desire to do what's right, but they sort of fuddle along in their spiritual life, in their Christian disciplines, just stumbling, picking themselves back up, sort of three steps forward and two steps back, and maybe sometimes two steps forward and three steps back. They embarrass themselves, they embarrass the church, they goof up their testimony, and they are occasionally a real dishonor to the Lord. They're just feeble and susceptible to temptation and sinful patterns. And then you have the wearisome. They just frustrate everything around them, everybody in the church. They are people who never get it. They never quite catch up. They can't focus. They can't concentrate. They drag their feet. They miss the point, or if they forget the point, or they ignore the point. They never seem to speed up or get with the group and move at the rate that everyone else is moving at. They exasperate people, ministries, because they never seem to change. And you can try and try and try, but they never seem to change. They're the kind of people to whom you can say, well, why don't you do that? I did that and it didn't work. Well, why don't you try doing this? Take a little time, read a few psalms or some scriptures every day. And they say, well, I tried that and it doesn't work. Well, here's a series of CDs or DVDs you can watch and listen to, messages that might bring strength into your spirit. And they'll say, well, I listened to those and that didn't help. So it doesn't matter what you say to them. They just are exasperated. They feel like they've exhausted all of the options, and they're just too weary to even walk at a pace of the Spirit into the promises of God. And then fifthly, or number five, you have just the absolute wicked. These are folks in the church that just absolutely are evil. You can't say it any more plain than that. They do harm to other people. They gossip, they slander, they break up relationships, they fracture the unity of the Spirit, they violate the bond of peace. They are unloving, they break up marriages, they divorce their spouses, they are unkind to their children, and then they become children who are disobedient to their parents, they defile their daughters and sons, they just are full of sin and iniquity and lawlessness. They're the wise sheep. The wise are different. They are settled in God's sovereignty, satisfied with his spiritual supplements. They are gracious in service, loving in conversation, helpful when asked for a hand, leaders in worship, spiritual lights in dark areas of the city, pillars of the church that you can count on in the most heated conflicts and hours of confusion. Why? Because they have a fear of the Lord. People who have a fear of the Lord are generally those who are going to be faithful. You can count on them to show up. They're not looking for excuses to get out of something, but they are always looking for a way to exercise their abilities and commitments and consecration to the Lord. Psalm 103 and 13 says, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." Psalm 103 and 17, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." So I want you to look at the generational blessing of pleasing the Lord, of righteousness, the ability to do right that comes upon those who fear him. And I really like this next verse in Psalm 112 and 1 that said, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments." So doing things that are pleasing to the Lord are not a drudgery. Doing things that lead down a righteous path doesn't make this individual feel like it's a dead end to his opportunities or a blockade to his future prosperity. If anything, it opens the gates. It leads him through the right doors. It takes him into the discernible direction of the blessings of the Lord and the pleasures of God that are at his right hand forevermore. Those who fear the Lord and greatly delight in his commandments are those that see the things in the Word of God as spiritual opportunities, not just scriptural obligations. It's not just going through the motions or having to pay some kind of religious tribute, but they see it as a spiritual investment. They see that when they give their service to the Lord with a heart of faithfulness, when they fear God and revere the things that are important to the Lord, then the ways of God that are higher than our ways, well, they become our ways too. They become our escapes out of earthly entrapments. They lead us out of the caves of depressive isolation. They bring us to the green pastures and the still waters of a shepherd's veil. Psalm 115 and 13 says, "He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great." So this is not some kind of elitist activity. It doesn't matter if you're a prince or a pauper, a king or a carpenter, a soldier or a mere servant, a warrior or a common day, everyday worker in the marketplace. He has blessings for those who fear him. Because, you see, God is not a respecter of persons, but he does inspect prayer. He does discern the heart. He sees the intent and the motive and understands what our agenda is. And if we align our ambitions with the Almighty, if we fear the Lord and walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, then our gains are going to far exceed our losses. We may have days of setbacks and we may have hours in the storm, but we are going to make it through, and we're going to make it through with abundance. Psalm 147:11, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in mercy." So God is not just robotically standing by without feeling. God is love. God is the very one that created us to have feelings and emotions. He takes pleasure. in our prayer, in our purposes, in our plans. Malachi 3:16, after the delineating of the wicked and the rebuke of those who were vain and serving idols and hypocritically coming toward the Lord as though they were doing what was right, and yet in their hearts they were full of wickedness. But in verse 16 of chapter 3, the scripture says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord." Now think about that. For all the things that can be said about you, for all the accusations of darkness that can come against you, for all the condemning forces of evil that would like to distract you in the hour of your labor, liberty, and blessing, the Bible says there's a book of remembrance for those that fear the Lord and those that focus on his name. And it goes on to say, "They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." I mean, that is a mouthful of revelation. That is a manifestation of God's intent and purpose upon those that are obedient to his word and that fear the Lord. Now you think about this. This world is full of the wrong kind of fear. Trepidation because of trickery and madness and evil and wickedness and violence. People that are afraid they're going to lose their money in the stock market. People that are afraid they're going to lose their home because of medical bills. People that are afraid they're going to lose everything they possess because of conflicts or certain decisions they made in a time of weakness. And yet the Lord is saying, "I want to be a blessing to those that fear my name. I will open doors and windows of heaven to those that fear my name." Then the Bible says in Psalm 34:7, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." So we fear the Lord, he delivers us. We show him proper respect, he rewards us with a protection you can find nowhere in this world. We revere him as he should be revered, and God builds walls and puts a fortress around us that the enemy can't break into. In fact, the Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower the righteous run into and are safe. So when we fear the Lord, it's not a waste of time. So you see that fearing the Lord brings a tremendous amount of blessing, protection, encouragement, strength. The angels of the Lord, in fact, are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. And to be fearful of the Lord is to be morally reverent. There's something about people who fear the Lord. They have a deep understanding that their moral values mean more than just trying to be pleasing to society, but trying to be pleasing to God, because it's a better way of living. It's a better lifestyle. There's more peace at the end of the day when we do it according to God's purity, when we let the virtue of the Lord be a part of all of our decisions, when we refuse to give in to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, and we choose rather the love of the Father, because we know that if we fear him, we know if there is that general trembling of who he is. Think about this. If I fear the Lord, then my focus of fear is on him, not on the haunting things of the world, not on my past failures, not on what I think the enemy might try to do to expose my weaknesses or take advantage of my vulnerabilities. I don't have time to fear the devil if I fear God. I don't have time to fear the things of the world if I fear God, because the creatures are not greater than the Creator. And so it wouldn't matter how monstrous some miserable thing might be, crawling out of the darkness or coming out of the sea or stepping out of the shadows to strike fear and anxiety into my heart. I fear the Lord. He's greater than all of those things. And he's not going to harm me. My fear to him is going to help me. He's going to strengthen me. He's going to guide me and teach me and develop me. I'm going to be empowered before this journey is over. I'm going to have discoveries along the way that's going to teach me the counsel of God. So I choose to fear the Lord in Jesus' name.
Bible time. It's Pentecost revival time. Hi, this is Natalie Hood, and if you enjoyed today's message and want to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.com. At thejesusmessage.com, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much, much more. Also, Reverend Danny Hood has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God do, in His timing, what you never thought possible. Another encouraging book entitled Hope, an Anchor, will encourage you that no matter how difficult the storms of life become, Jesus offers an anchor of love, power, compassion, and peace. It will secure you in the deepest waters and most traumatic times. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcome tragic, traumatic, and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. Again, in this book, Danny Hood visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible and contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly inspiring books today.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.